From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Madeline Brand. Many Scots have been campaigning for years now to become independent of the United Kingdom. The leaders of the Scottish National Party had hoped Scotland would become part of what they called the Arc of Prosperity. That's a string of small, prosperous countries across Northern Europe, from Ireland through Iceland to Scandinavia. The global financial crisis put a serious dent in that model, but Scottish independence is still very much on the agenda. As NPR's Rob Gifford reports.
It's a showery, blustery day, of course, in Scotland. And there's a kilted piper, of course, playing on the Royal Mile in Edinburgh. If the physical scenery doesn't change, the political landscape has been shifting dramatically in recent years. First, there was the establishment of the Scottish Parliament 10 years ago to make decisions on local issues such as healthcare and education. Then, 2 years ago, the Scottish National Party became the largest party in the Scottish Parliament, though it doesn't have a majority, and started pushing harder for independence. But then came the financial meltdown last fall.
Our top story this afternoon, the government becomes the biggest shareholder in the Royal Bank of Scotland and Lloyds TSB HBOS.
It is certainly of a scale beyond anything that we've seen since the Second World War.
The British government in London launched massive bailouts of the Bank of Scotland and the Royal Bank of Scotland. And many said that was that for Scottish independence, not least members of the Scottish Labour Party like Sarah Boyack, who support continued union with the rest of Britain.
Oh, it really concentrated people's minds. The UK bailout package is £20 billion. Our budget is £33 billion in a year. So if we hadn't been part of the UK, we'd have been in the arc of insolvency with Ireland and Iceland. So I think a lot of people were actually quietly relieved that we were still part of the UK.
But now, 9 months after the financial meltdown, it's clear that relief has dissipated somewhat. Members of the Scottish National Party, like Alistair Allen, who represents the Western Isles, are suddenly bullish again about the possibility of independence, or at least a referendum on the subject.
Pretty much everyone in Scotland now accepts that Scotland needs more control over our own affairs. Even those who are not yet convinced of the case for complete independence accept that. At the moment, Scotland has less autonomy, if you like, than your average state in the United States of America, and people want us to raise and spend our own taxes and take responsibility for our own decisions.
Members of the SNP don't point to Iceland or Ireland anymore for obvious reasons. They do point to Norway, though, which they say gets all the benefits of its own oil industry, while taxes from Scotland's substantial offshore oil reserves go to London. With the current government in Westminster unpopular throughout Britain, observers say the SNP has also turned its leadership of the Scottish Parliament into a sort of protest movement, encouraging anyone who has a gripe with Prime Minister Gordon Brown and the ruling Labour Party in London on anything to line up with the SNP, regardless of whether they support Scottish independence or not.
There is independence by stealth, which to a large degree is the SNP's main strategy at the moment.
David Maddox of the Scotsman newspaper has been casting his dispassionate English eye over Scottish politics for many years. He says the SNP is playing a clever game, but in the end, he says, economics is not the issue.
I always think the issue is a sentimental one, one of the heart. The economic case has been made many times. It's never had much change on the general debate for independence. It's one of the heart.
That's clear on the streets of the traditionally working-class Edinburgh suburb of Leith, where Patsy Bathgate, Stacey Luke and Mark Welsh are enjoying a few pints at the Harp and Castle pub.
We're Scottish and we want to be Scottish. We feel Scottish. We don't feel anything else. We don't feel British. And that's what we want to be, and we want to give it a shot.
Scottish people are proud to be Scottish, and it's worth achieving, and I think we can do it.
I think it could be a generation thing, in all honesty. I mean, people in our age group, I reckon, are probably quite up for independence, and I don't see why not, to be honest with you. Just watch the film Braveheart.
The big question for now, though, is whether enough Scots can be persuaded that the romance of Braveheart can be translated into a workable reality in the cold light of the long Scottish day in the early 21st century. Rob Gifford, NPR News, Edinburgh.